Hello and welcome. Scare Track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God! Ah! I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
The
quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is a movie review episode of Houses October Built 2. Obviously, we did Houses October Built 1 originally 2 weeks ago, so if you haven't heard that yet, go back and check it out. Remember, there are going to be lots of spoilers throughout this episode, so if you haven't seen the films yet, make sure you check those out before you listen to this podcast. We've also done a instant quick review over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/scaretrack. Just click on the playlist, you'll see the movie reviews, and there's a quick 10-minute instant review straight after I watch the film on there. Now, we always get Dan on because he's obviously a filmmaker, director, producer of horror films. And it was him who brought it to my attention that there's quite a few of the haunt horror genre now. And obviously, Houses October Built is one of the pinnacle ones. Now, the second film didn't get quite as good reviews as the first. I personally really enjoyed it. Dan, not so much. So you'll hear lots of pros and cons about this film in this interview with Dan now, well, this discussion with Dan. I don't want to seem like I'm swinging both ways in the fact that on my YouTube I'm saying I love it, and on here with Dan I'm saying I hate it. I don't. I do enjoy it. I enjoy it, but more so from a look at that pretty scare attraction way. Look how cool that chainsaw is. Look at the venue there. Look at the actors. I look at it very much so, more so of a documentary. And obviously Dan watches it more so of a horror film, which it should be. So I can see there are flaws with this film, especially compared to the first one. There are flaws. But if you just like a bit of Halloween, just give it a watch. Because, you know, there's a really cool scene with a more adult risque haunt attraction, which I really enjoyed. And the ending with Hellbent, some shit does go down. It's cool just to see it. But yeah, watch it with an open mind. Let us know what you think after you've seen it. If you have seen it, you might agree with me, you might agree with Dan, you might agree with a mixture of both what we're saying, but who knows? The only way to find out is to listen to the rest of this episode. So without any further ado, let's take you to the discussion with myself, Dan Brownlee from UK Haunters, all about Houses October Built 2.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi guys, and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro, this is a movie review episode, and I am joined once again with Dan from UK Haunters. Dan, how's it going, buddy?
As always, all good, man, all good.
Awesome stuff. Before we get into this episode, we need to mention that the new UK Haunters trailer has just dropped on YouTube and the socials. That's a pretty damn cool trailer, isn't it?
Yeah, way better than the one I did.
Well, no, I was a fan of that as well, but yeah, guys, you can check that out on YouTube and on all the socials. We've shared it as well, so if you're following us, I dare say you see it, but make sure you give it a like, a comment, share it. Let's get the whole of the haunt industry here in the UK and all around the world checking out the new UK Haunters trailer, and it's due for release this September/October time, which it's not really that far away, is it, Dan? It will soon creep up on us.
Yeah, it's 3 months now.
Yeah, so can't wait to watch that. I was very excited to watch our film that we're talking about today. Dan, I'm guessing we spoke off air, he wasn't a fan of this one. So there's going
to
be
so excited to watch it.
So he wasn't quite that excited. But we're going to be talking about The Houses October Built 2, which is so named in the US. Here in the UK, it's called The Blue Skeleton. And in other countries around the world, it was titled Hellbent. It's a 2017 American found footage horror film. And it's, of course, the sequel to the 2014 film, The Houses October Built, which, again, here in the UK, was called The Houses of Halloween. Now, if you missed our last episode with Dan a week or two ago, head back and listen to that episode, and then you're all up to date to let us discuss this episode, which was the second film in the sequel. Heavy spoilers, as usual. Me and Dan go very spoiler heavy with these episodes, so make sure you've watched the films first. Dan, I'm guessing you didn't like it.
It was not for me.
Okay. Now, we need to say, we'll go into a little bit of a plot in a minute and whatnot, and the bits that I liked from it from a haunt perspective. Obviously, there's two ways we can look at these sort of films, these haunt genre horror films. I looked at the first film more so like a haunt film, as in a fan of extreme haunt experiences. And Dan obviously watched it from a horror movie background, because that he lives, breathes, and eats horror movies. So, yeah, hit us with it. Why didn't you like it? What was the bad things for you?
I loved the first one. The first one's amazing. When we spoke about the first one last week, we touched on this one. And my major problem was that it was, again, we're heavy spoiling here. So, you know, I will go straight into spoilers. That it was all basically a setup. Annoyed me, a reflection of the first one, because the first one to me is a horror film. It's a flat out horror film. They killed him at the end. That is the whole point of it. That's what's so terrifying. There's lots of intricacies. Listen to the last podcast to get all that. But the point is, it's a horror film. You said you watched it as a haunt fan. And I was like, ha, do you know what? I found that exceptionally interesting, because I didn't even consider that. And it gave me a new appreciation for the first one to look at it as a haunt experience.
Yeah.
As well as watching as a horror film. So the first one's still a massive fan of at all. This one, from the word go, it made less sense. It went from, there are films, there's one called Exists, which I advise you to check out. It's a Bigfoot film, which isn't found footage. It's shot in a found footage style.
Okay.
That's made very clear. And I like that, because I like the found footage style.
Yeah.
This one instantly, within the first scene, broke its rules of found footage. Because it was shot from different camera angles, and there would have been cameras there.
Yeah. So already it takes you out of that found footage bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instantly takes you off that. Secondly, if we're to believe from what they say later on, the blue skeleton guy was burying the girl and then got stopped by the police. That's how she got away.
Mm-hmm.
The policeman stopped him, got him on the ground, cuffed him. She managed to get out of the coffin and get away without the police seeing her or questioning her or going, oh, are you okay? Because she was obviously that terrified from the footage. She would have been a wreck, but she managed to disappear into nothingness. And then the guy on his front cuffed managed to uncuff himself and get away without the policeman noticing him.
Hmm. So it's a bit far-fetched already, isn't it?
It was fun. And the thing about the House October Built, it was so good. It's a sort of, again, As when I watched it with Jess the other week to prepare for the podcast, she was like, this is like watching UK Haunters, because that's what we did. And I was like, it had that sort of reality, you and your mates going and doing something, going on a journey. This immediately broke that. Now, if the whole film was then found footage inspired, cool, but it wasn't. It kind of awkwardly broke those rules. Now, I couldn't find any interviews of the director on this, so this is just my personal opinion. He could have reasons for this. He could have done it, which just didn't filter through, because, as always, this is my opinion. It's not a bad film. I just didn't like it, and any reasons why I didn't like it. And then when you go to the news broadcast, they say the blah, 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 the woman who escaped the Blue Skeleton Group is now a coffin girl. What happened next? The bloody results will change the haunt industry forever. It doesn't, and there wasn't. So the first 2 points in the film have undermined what I believe, what I loved about the first one, and also kind of lied about the ending, because it didn't. Don't put that in there. If there wasn't a bloody ending which changed the Haunt film forever, then don't say there was. Because I was, then I was like, oh, wow, God, all right, okay, well, forget the fact she suddenly was okay enough to vanish into the ether without the pit, and forget the fact that the guy could suddenly do a Houdini. Sod that, because this end is going to be a, this is the end I wanted. This is, you know, always referred to stuff as like the Chainsaw Massacre 2 to the Chainsaw Massacre. That was all minimalist and creepy. This is going to be guts galore.
Yeah.
So when it got to the end, it wasn't. And the ending I found personally very unsatisfactory. I just kind of went, huh.
You know what? I can completely understand where you're coming from. Obviously, if there's, it's a found footage film, and like you're saying, the first film, it was very true to that. And in most of this one, it was, apart from obviously a few key points near the beginning that you noticed, again, which I think just went over my head. I'm normally good at spotting that sort of stuff, but there's obviously some clips in there where there wouldn't be a camera where we are seeing. So I understand that completely. There was speaking of cameras, we can take that box off. They did introduce a drone to the team, which I liked, in the fact that there were a lot of more attractive aerial bird's eye view shots of attractions or haunts or whatever, wherever they visited, and that was explained because they bought, you know, they bought the driver a brand new drone. So I liked that idea of it. I liked the first. I loved the first film, but part of me, but I'm like, did they die? Did they not die? Because throughout the whole of that, I was still thinking, is this an extreme haunt? Is it just an extreme haunt? Because I've done them. I know they can do fucked up shit like this. Is it an extreme haunt? And this second film, I think they've blurred the lines a little bit, because there's the audience like you are thinking, well, they, how can this happen? Because they're just dead. Then there's me thinking, oh, it was just an extreme haunt, but it would have been better if, although it might have been still slightly of a cop out, but you know that when the two men get out of their coffin, they're in like a little studio, it's all prepped up, they know what the scenario is. Why then did we need a shot of the guy in the skeleton mask, you know, with an actual coffin in the ground? We didn't need that bit. And she's got, so yeah, it sort of blurred the lines there a little bit, whereas I feel after you've mentioned what you've just said, if they had just had her in that studio as well, and they said it's a hoax, you've just got however many thousand YouTube fans or whatever, you could probably believe it more. But yeah, it's the fact that they're trying to make out that actually, you know, police were called and there was a coffin in the ground.
Because it shows you him rescuing her, even though she just managed to vanish. Because when he opened the coffin, she was gone.
Yeah.
Why was a guy there burying an empty coffin? That makes no goddamn sense as well.
Yeah.
It just didn't happen. Also, because you're buying into reality that she vanished, because he actually says in the report, the police turned up and saved her. You're thinking, right, she got away, so the Blue Skeleton people are now coming back after him because they got away last season. I may have missed the gap, maybe if it's meant to be a next year or a couple of years later. But that's
it's a year later.
So, you know, they've survived that. The police turn up. And it also kind of doesn't really mention how the blokes get away, because the guy with the ginger guy with a beard...
He was getting
their stuff in the room. I don't even think there's footage of him getting buried.
No, I don't think there is.
Yeah, so he's one to get messed up in the room, which again led me to believe it just them all dying, because to me that was the point of the first film.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to go back. They're going to get her. That's the whole point of this. It's just another. It wasn't, and the thing is, it wasn't. I feel really horrible because I like the film so much and the director, from what I've seen, such a nice guy. So I will keep saying this is just my opinion.
It just
set up so much that wasn't cleverly deceived. It's almost like, you know, when the Saw films got a bit cheap. Oh, 20 years ago again, really? How many times does this happen 20 years ago and you're showing us footage in the same films makers? But it just got a bit, and even to the point with the drone actually annoyed me, because there's this thing, again, the Chainsaw Massacre 2 thing, where your first film's really raw.
Yeah.
And the second film kind of ups the budget, gets a bit sleeker. And that drone was kind of like a whoa, we've got aerial shots now, rather than it didn't serve any purpose. It didn't.
Right.
It didn't show you anything. It wasn't like the blue skeleton people hiding behind round the corner and they couldn't see because they're walking on the street, but the drone did. It didn't serve any purpose.
Right.
Apart from going, we can do aerial shots now. Because I'm an independent filmmaker. I love an aerial shot because it looks flashy. It instantly up to budget level. And that's it, because it was introduced. Oh, we've now got this. There's no reason for it.
Would have preferred it if there was a payoff for having it, like if it went over a wall and that you could see all the actors hiding out or something. You'd be like, that's why they've got that, because it actually I know what you mean, it doesn't actually add to the content of what's actually happening within the film. I understand. I just like it because I thought it was a couple of cool shots, but like you say, as a filmmaker yourself, you know, there shouldn't be a shot just for the sake of a shot, I guess.
Unless it's cool. Be there. I mean, but it was just, and if they'd just gone, I don't know, man. They did, I don't know. It's just, if it's just a cool shot, you should have a cool shot. It was just the introduction of it. It was like, oh, look, we've got this now, so we can have better shots. And I kind of suppose that played into reality of it, but by that point, I was already, and this is the second time watching it, because I didn't watch it. I mean, the first one I've watched, God knows how many times. This one I watched once, went, man, I didn't like that at all. Yeah. And I watched it again for this.
I'm sorry I wasted an hour and a half of your life.
Didn't like it. Yeah, I don't know how they could have fit it in with it being, maybe if there was a payoff or something. Even when like they're having a nice shot of them driving down, they even go, oh, yeah, this drone's following us because I've programmed it. Well, I wouldn't have questioned it. You know, you've introduced an aerial shot. I presume it's a drone.
Yes, yeah.
You know, more power to you. And then other stuff like later on when, I'm skipping ahead of it now.
No, carry on.
When they gas them all, it's like, right, if this isn't a horror film and this is just an extreme, are we really going to be gassing people? Because then they did it in the first one. It's a horror film. They're doing it to knock people out and mess them, you know. But really? No.
That's something that, because I was re-watching and I was thinking, I could let it slide in the first film because you weren't aware of if it was a haunt or a murder. And even with the finale at the end with them in the coffin, again, you saw it as they're all dead. The first time I watched it before I knew of the second film, or before obviously the second film was out, I was very thinking, it could be extreme haunt or they could be dead. You know, the second film basically is the white rabbit in the hat, isn't it? It's the, hey, it's fake. Yeah. It was all fake. It was all pretend. So yeah. So that means that the second time they do a gassing of people to put them to sleep, it makes it that more, hang on, this time I know this is supposed to be just a haunt film again, I think. You could let it slide in the first film and you couldn't in this one. Likewise, when they were all put into a room at the finale at Hellbent, and again, we'll talk a little bit about the plot again in a second, but they're all, I'm guessing, chloroformed and they all put to sleep. We know the outcome that this is an extreme haunt. Both of them were Blue Skeleton, Hellbent, which turns out to be a Blue Skeleton. Throughout none of this has anyone died as anyone. It is all a complete hoax, basically just to make the girl into Coffin Girl and a YouTube star, you know, which takes away from it being a horror. But again, I like that side of it purely because of loving haunted attractions, scare attractions, you know, doing YouTube videos myself, you know. So I'm probably, the second film probably has a niche market of a success rate of people enjoying it.
There's no threat.
No.
If the first one, like, oh, it's Blue Skeleton, hey, we did this, we fucked you up, and then they do another one, it's like, oh, shit, maybe they're going, now they're comfortable with screams, maybe some people have taken advantage of the fact they're comfortable.
Yeah.
Maybe these ones are actually going to kill them. No, do something different. If the first one was a hoax, this one shouldn't be.
Yeah, yeah. It would make more sense of people going, we can really fuck these people up because they're going to think it's fake. Yeah.
Yeah, now you're kind of like, well, I know it's fake. And especially the second time is annoying because the beginning was like, oh, this bloody ending which will change the haunt industry forever. You're like, oh, man, what happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No blood.
No, blood. That's a good point. Yeah, no blood, no death, no. And in fairness, again, when I did my mini review on my YouTube channel, I watched this very much so of haunts and seeing the haunts and seeing the attractions. That's why I enjoy these films, because it's real, it's raw. And you mentioned it in film one, in the first review of the first film, that it's all real stuff. It's all legit. So it's very authentic. And that's what I liked about this one. But this one, I found that the first half was a lot slower because it wasn't actually that scary. They went to eating contests. They went to zombie fun runs. I think that was all just to try and get the girl on board, Coffin Girl, because she wasn't into it.
Get her on board, but you're not entertaining or giving anything away. I mean, I think I saw there's a couple of points where you saw someone in a mask that looked like one of the first ones, and there was a whip pan going on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. But again, it wasn't like the first one as well. In all the different haunts, they weren't all extreme. A lot of them were actually just standard haunts in the first one. But they pissed people off.
Yeah.
They misbehaved. They did that. They're building something. So in your mind, you're thinking, oh, they're breaking rules.
Yeah.
And we all know in horrors, if you break rules, you get rolled up. That's just kind of what happens.
Yes.
So they're giving you a reason to fear that they've done, that they've annoyed someone, that these people could possibly be doing that. They're giving you little red herrings or logic, horror logic, to where this one, it was like, we're doing a zombie run. Did anything happen in the zombie run? No, it's an eating contest. Oh, you vomited. So, well, you know what I mean? And I completely understand logic. We did haunts, we did these more traditional haunted house haunts there. So this one, let's do all the other stuff. And it's cool, but they didn't go in deep enough to make it interesting to find out about the bits and pieces that they're doing. And they didn't show enough of it to make that interesting. It was kind of like, literally like your mates, here's the not highlights of this and this and this. And you kind of, it just didn't do anything. I was like, cool, but
it doesn't actually add anything to the story.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I get what you say. Again, I think I look at this film through, I'm going to say roast into glasses, purely because I don't watch it for a horror. And that, and like we say, we've mentioned this many times when we've been chatting. My horror film, I actually haven't seen enough, although I'm working on that now. I just got Shudder. But, my arsenal of horror films of what I watched is actually not up there. But my visiting of attractions and watching YouTube videos of attractions and haunted houses and mazes and stuff like that is my forte, which is why I watch this going, this is cool, this is fun, I wish I could do something like that. But I completely understand what you're saying, the fact that the first half of the film actually just looks like, more like a documentary rather than a haunt documentary or haunt film.
But it was like a documentary, but it was like the lowlights of the documentary. Like,
the bits that didn't make the first film.
Yeah, like I didn't give a... Yes. It's like they went, right, let's have some us chatting some nonsense in between to justify this and then use the shit we didn't use for this. I can't give a monkeys about an eating competition. I mean, who cares? Mm. You know what I mean? That zombie run was cool. And yeah, you got that nice drone shot. But all it is with people running around, you're kind of like,
Yeah. I know what you mean.
What happens? What's there that makes me go, or maybe one, you know, maybe that'd been perfect time for someone to have got kicked off, knocked off. Now, they did have that point in the, I think, last but one haunt when a blue skeleton guy turned up.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, oh, I don't know who that guy is. And I was like, kind of too little, too late. By then, I was just like,
we should have done that earlier. Yeah, because we've seen clips of this guy, but through cameras, again, that shouldn't be there. That's where, when we've seen this guy in the mask, maybe.
And he's following in a helicopter as well. And I was like, oh, do you know how much a helicopter costs?
That's a good point. Yeah, that is. I forgot all about that, to be fair.
And the thing is, and the shot is of him, so someone's filming him in the thing. So what? Who's filming him? And why are they filming him?
Yeah. Well, but then that could be a case of let's bring it sort of towards the latter half of the film when they do finally seek out Hellbent. And the reason they want to seek out Hellbent is because the crazy guy in an escape room told him to do it, which I'm glad they did an escape room because that covered that aspect of the industry, which I think has boomed since the first film. But nothing happened. Nothing.
Enough to make it interesting. Nothing happened in there to make the film interesting. And they didn't cover enough of the aspect of an escape room.
True.
For you to go... That they didn't like interview the guy and he explained a little bit about how escape rooms or this thing, but or any interesting facts about escape rooms or that escape room or
but nothing happened
anything
inside
that made
it.
Them go, I wouldn't mind rewinding that or I wouldn't mind going there. It was just kind of a bit of an escape room. Mm-hmm. Meh. And then just moved on. He just didn't do much.
No. A lot of the action I think was saved for the last 20 minutes of this film. And again, this is sort of like the last film where they were looking for the blue skeleton. They found it inadvertently and it was quite intense. Whereas this one, it was a similar sort of thing. They sought out Hellbent. Best scene of the whole film, I think, is just the guy standing out the front of it with a ginormous chainsaw. Again, it doesn't actually add anything to the film as such. He never uses the chainsaw. It doesn't.
Yeah.
But it looked freaking awesome.
It did look very cool.
So that was a cool. And the location looked good. The fact with the sign above it. Again, me watching this from a... if I try and forget the fact that they've just gassed him again, suspend your disbelief for that bit. But if I turned up to an event that looked like that, I'd be like, this is an extreme haunt and this is awesome. And then, you know, shit happens and it does make you think because of the last film, it turned out to be a hoax. You're watching this film thinking, shit, hang on, this guy's actually on fire. His arm's on fire. He must be dying. Or shit, that's happened to this guy. She must be seeing her friends die. Like, what the fuck's happening?
Yeah, that guy on fire, her seeing that, them setting fire in front of her, camera-wise, that switch is evil. Evil, easy.
Yeah.
Reality-wise, you couldn't switch out that person with a fake body at that distance. Mm-hmm. Just couldn't.
Yeah.
Unless you, like, said, look over there, and then did a massively huge switcheroo. But he didn't. She's like, oh, my God. And I was like, again. Which, again, when they did that, he cut off the guy's arm. I was like, oh, this is what the news is talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a bloody end which is going to change, you know. When you say a bloody end that's going to change the haunted, you better damn well show me that bloody end that would, I could imagine, if happened, would change the haunted industry.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, I'm going to be pissed off.
Hence, you're pretty pissed off.
Hence, me being pissed off.
I think, I don't know if I have much more, you know, to say other than I liked it. but I like it for different reasons. Like I said, everything you're saying, Dan, I completely understand in the fact that, yeah, there's some camera scenes that didn't make sense. The fact that it was actually all a hoax again was...
Didn't make
was
the fact that it was all a hoax that the boys set up...
Yeah, again.
...made
again.
Their friend suffer trauma for a year and then set it up again... just so the Blue Skeleton Group, who they don't know or apparently never heard of, have a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the film, what was the big payoff? She was pissed off.
Yeah, she was pissed.
That's your payoff? She was annoyed?
Yeah.
I mean, oh, and at the end, they went, the sign, welcome to Hellbent, you change the letters around, it's a Blue Skeleton Group. And I was like, oh, do you know, just stop. Just stop. It's not clever. It's not witty. You've pissed me off already. Unless their fucking van blows up, they put a bomb on it, I just don't fucking care anymore. I'm done.
Yeah. Do you think they exhausted the idea of the blue skeleton? Because I can see, no. I can see why it's upset you though. Because in the first film, it was that mystique of something they potentially have never heard of before. They don't know what it is. Are these actors real? Or is it fake? There's lots of questions in the first one to the finale. And this film is it's the debunker, isn't it, of all that? It just debunks the fact that it's real.
debunker plus make no goddamn sense, because if they, all the guys knew about it, would they let them, why did they gas them?
Yeah, why were they gassed?
Yeah, why do this incredibly dangerous thing?
Yeah.
If you're in on it, you don't need to. All you need to do is make sure the girls fall asleep. The rest of you go, shh, don't wake her up, and do what the hell are you going to do?
Yeah. Same with the chloroforming. They chloroformed them all, and they all put them all to sleep, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, no, because they all got up before she did.
The first one is such a classic. It's so good. It's so well done. It blew my mind when I first watched it. I was like, oh, this is amazing. So, so good. And the reason why I don't like this one is it's just such a weak source that it destroys the first. I forget this one when I watch the first one. To me, the first one's the reality of the film. Mm-hmm. The second one doesn't exist. Because everything they try and do to make it, it just doesn't pay off. Nothing really happens. It's a very, very weak highlight reel of kind of okay haunts,
mm-hmm.
with no real payoff in anything. And the end payoff is hellbent next left because it's an anagram for Blue Skeleton Group, and she was pissed off. That is your payoff for two films, and your payoff is she's pissed off.
Yeah.
I could piss off my wife in 2 minutes. I don't need to watch 3 hours of film today.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. That, like, if they maybe changed it out so this film was more, like you say, it was actually other people saying you're taking the piss out of Extreme Haunts, or you're taking the piss out of Halloween, or you're taking the piss out of your friends, so we're going to get you for it, and actually did get them, then you could argue that the first film, even though it turned out to be a hoax, it could be them now paying for that hoax, whereas they actually haven't paid for it.
You said that have they exhausted the Blue Skeleton Group? Okay, I got one film title for you. Haunt.
Well, yeah, that was pretty good.
Boom. If they have Blue Skeleton masks on, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
Don't worry, blah, blah, blah. We're going to go to this Extreme Haunt. And they're like, right, you took the piss last time. We'll show you what we can read. And they go, that's it.
Yeah.
That's what we need. It's not exhausted at all. They could. And maybe, I'm not sure how well this one was received, because it was such an indie underground film that... Yeah, and the thing is that I can understand it, because when you're doing a sequel, you want to do something different. And I understand that it was like, no, I want to do something different. But he kind of didn't. They kind of pulled the same trick twice. Yeah. And the different things I used was different styles of haunts, which just weren't as gripping because there was nothing happening in it.
Yeah.
So I can understand the logic of let's do something completely different, do this. It just, do you know what? If it wasn't for the beginning,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't have annoyed me as much. Because all through this film, I was like, bloody payoff, which changes a haunt scene forever.
Yeah, you're waiting
Don't
for that payoff.
Set me up like that if you're not going to give it. Yeah, and the people get the hats up and set up for, I was like, right, this is it. This is serious. They, you know, because they say the police interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
So the police, and they've come back to get them. They didn't come back to get them. It was an entire thing was a setup by the blokes, as far as I read this film. And yeah, man.
Well, sucky. I think that's a perfect place to sort of put the final nail in this coffin. I tell you why I think I enjoy it more than you is because I maybe watch this not so much as a horror film, but I probably have my same, I mean the same mindset as if I'm watching a haunt documentary or a YouTube channel about some haunts. Or extreme attractions and stuff like that.
But even that side of it wasn't particularly interesting.
I liked it purely because there was the idea of an extreme haunt that might fuck you up at the end. It actually, there wasn't enough of it. I don't know. It definitely wasn't anywhere near as good as the first one. It sort of, I'm not going to say ruined the idea of it, but like I say, debunked the idea of it.
But just ignore it.
Well, yeah, just ignore that and watch the first one, basically.
Watch the first one again. First one's amazing. If you ignore the entire nonsense of the second one, the first one is still amazingly dark, creepy, interesting, fascinating. The first one is still a fantastic film.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic film.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, if you want to see bits and bobs, watch the second one. But... I don't know. I'm trying to think back.
Well, you know what? I'd always say, watch it. Don't listen to me. This is just my opinion. I mean, you know, I've some of my, like, everyone hates Charles Band films, apparently, like the Puppet Master and Ginger Dead Band. I love them. I think they're fantastic. Mm. I've read reviews, gone, this is the biggest piece of shit ever. I've watched it, and I love them. So, yeah, don't listen to me.
But what you're saying makes sense. And like I said, I can understand, I can agree with everything you're saying to points and what, as well, especially with what other people are saying online, that this film, it did fail to succeed the way the first film did. But like I say, if you're a fan of Halloween and you don't mind watching something with like a crappy payoff as such, you know, there's some cool scenes when they went to the adult style event. There's a few cool scenes there from a more risque sort of scare attraction, which was cool that they covered. Like I say, they covered an escape game, but I was hoping they could cover more of the escape game, like Dan said as well. But yeah.
Do you know what I'm quite curious about? I'm curious if they were planning on doing a third.
I think they were.
And what would that
there
be?
There were very, very small talks about a UK version. Very, very small talks.
Because you couldn't pull the same trick again, surely. It would have to be
not
real
for
the that
third time.
Because if you were, if this was your plan to finish at two, then you would have just had everyone die. Surely.
Yeah.
That would have been the point. So if there was a third one, would it be separate characters? And then you think it's going to be fake again, and they actually do all get mutilated. I'd be very, very curious. If the ending was the way the beginning led you to believe, I would have quite enjoyed this. It's really the end. The rest. Oh, thing is, it's when something annoys you, you get nitpicky about it. It's like remember a guy describing his failed marriage when he said, "Even the way she shut the door aggravated me." Shut the fridge door aggravated me. And I was like, I know what you mean when you're that angry with something. So if the end, so I know I've been trampling all over this film, but I'm kind of nitpicking because I felt so conned by the payoff not being what it was suggesting. So if the end doesn't bother you, I'm sure the film's actually a lot better because you're not nitpicky because, you know, you don't, some films you shouldn't really nitpick. Some films you just sit back and watch and enjoy. But because the end was like that, I was like, oh, no, then hang on, so that didn't make sense. And that, blah, 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 blah. If the end actually died, I'd be like, that was awesome.
Yeah. If it actually was this time they found the real heart and they killed him.
Yeah. So maybe the third one was going to be a UK-based one, the same people in the UK, or?
It was, that was only... You know what? I'm trying to think back to a drunken night at ScareCon in 2015. I don't know whether they were saying potentially the second one might have been originally planned for the UK, or whether I'm thinking they're like, "Yeah, we've got a second one, and the third one's in the UK." That might be me proper only hearing half conversation. However, saying that though, I think. If the second film was in the UK, I think that would have given it... No, I'm not just saying this because I'm from here, but that would have given the film a whole new dynamic in the fact that, you know, that could be when they're like, Astroth is extreme, but it will really happen to you. Like, we don't like the fact that you've... you know, you could go down lots of routes. You could be like... your last film was like it was all in Texas. You're like, everything's bigger in Texas. Well, guess what? We can do it better. And it could be a case of we're jealous that you think America's the best place for the extreme haunt. Well, come to the UK and we'll show you what extreme is, and then we actually kill them. You know, it could have been more of a compelling story if it was somewhere else.
But maybe I wouldn't have had the idea for UK haunters because I'd felt someone had already done Britain.
Yeah, so, good point. Yeah, there you go. Every cloud, eh?
Yeah.
Every cloud. Awesome. I think that brings us to the end of us dissecting and totally bashing House of October Built 2.
I don't mean to bash it.
No.
I was just
everything you said had a valid point. And you know what? And I feel a little bit hypocritical because I'm thinking back to my YouTube review. I'm thinking back to when I've watched this film. And like I say, I'm sometimes easily pleased when I see scary people in a mask only because I love Halloween, I love haunts. So I do, and I'm going to be honest, I'll watch this through rose-tinted glasses purely because it's like a haunt documentary for me. Whereas everyone who knows me, if I'm putting on a film, I normally go for a comedy. Hannah is the one that goes for horror, which is why a subgenre horror thing is what we're covering on here. Because, like I say, my horror film knowledge is not good enough. But, guys, if you want to check it out, like I say, it's called The Blue Skeleton here in the UK. It's called Houses October Built 2 in the US. And in some countries, it's called Hellbent.
Oh, so, on that note, sorry, there's actually a film called Hellbent, which is based in the LGBTQ community. I did watch this 10 years ago, where it's about a killer going around killing gay men. So if you see a film called Hellbent, it could also be that as well.
It could be that as well. There's two films. Yeah, so don't get confused thinking, what the hell were they talking about? It's nothing like this film.
An equally worthy film. It was very interesting, especially in that there's very few horror that I've seen in that. Does it count as a subgenre? That community? I think, yeah, that community. So it's well worth a watch. But it's not what we're talking about. So I don't want people getting massively confused.
Good shout. And that's Hellbent from 1988, by the looks of it. There's also another film. Oh, hang on, there's two films called Hellbent. One in 2004 and one in 1988.
It'll be the 2004 one, because I watched it on Love Film.
There we go. So, two more. See, you learn everything here on Scare Track.
Yeah.
Multiple films. Like I say, in the UK, I think I watched it on Sky Q, so you can check it out there, but I'm sure it's on other platforms as well. It's actually available to buy and rent on YouTube as well, which I just saw. Awesome. Dan, we need to be doing another film next time we talk about movies. I'm thinking Hell House.
Hell House, cool. I'm good for that.
Yeah, I watched that for the first time the other day. Thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. So that'll probably be the next one we do. That's a bloody good one as well, because I think that's the first one out of all these films that we've been doing where it's actually something more supernatural that's happening.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. People know we're spoilers, yeah. But in all these other haunt horror genre films, it's been either a real person doing the bad stuff, or in Houses of October Built, no one actually doing the bad stuff. Whereas this one, it's a different dynamic, isn't it? I'd definitely say it's more spooky as opposed to slasher.
There's actually a lot like that. I was just trying to run through my mind of the ones we'd actually covered. But yeah, there's actually I can send you a list.
Yeah, we'll go through the list again, definitely.
Yes.
But other than that, I think that brings us to the perfect end. Once again, Dan, thank you so much for coming on to Scare Track.
Pleasure as always, man.
And we'll chat about Hell House on the next episode. I'll see you soon.
Sweet, look forward to it.
You're listening to Scare Track. You're listening to Scare Track.
So there we go, guys. First of all, a huge thank you to Dan for coming on to the Scare Track podcast yet again. We always enjoy getting him on because he knows his stuff when it comes to horror films, especially when it comes to the haunt horror genre as well. A few disagreements with myself and Dan on that episode, but that's the whole point of a discussion, a debate. I definitely enjoy the film more than him, but I can completely understand where he's coming from on all his points, and I'm sure you guys can too. Let me know what you think of this film. Do you like it the same as the first one? Do you think it was a complete disappointment compared to the first one? Do you see them even necessarily being sequels? Should they have just done separate films? Let me know. It'd be cool to find out what you guys think. Obviously, you can let us know in all the normal ways over on our social media. We are on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track. Make sure you give us a like, a rate, a subscribe, a comment, whatever you can to help us out. If you're listening on a podcast app, make sure you press the subscribe button. And most importantly, press subscribe on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ScareTrack, where we have our latest videos. We've had a Coast Track vlog go up from the Orton Towers Garden, because they've recently reopened. And we've got a few more things coming up over on our YouTube channel as well. Obviously, we are heavily, primarily a podcast, hence the Scare Trek podcast. But we are trying to do as much more as we can over on our YouTube channel. So like I say, give us a subscribe over there, youtube.com/ScareTrek. And you'll be able to check out when I made my spare room into a scare room and pumped my house full of smoke. Yeah, that went online a couple of days ago, so go and check that out. We do some live interviews over on our Instagram page now, so make sure you're following us on Instagram, and make sure you're just following us everywhere, especially on our website, scaretrack.co.uk. That gives you all the links to absolutely everything ScareTrack related. We also have a sale on our merchandise over at smart-effects.com, so make sure you click the link below in the show notes to go direct to our merchandise website. There's 25% off at the minute, and that's on until the end of this month, so the end of June 2020. So you've got 5 days as of today to get in your ScareTrack merchandise for 25% off. So that brings us to the end of this episode of the ScareTrack podcast. A huge thank you so much for listening, guys, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye, folks.